Well, welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 13, and we're going to pick up this evening with verse 12. And what we're going to learn about is the consequence for worshiping other idols. So beginning in verse 12, "If thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. Then shalt you inquire, and make search, and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword."
Sounds like pretty harsh judgment there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But if you remember in our last session how this applied individually, if a man had a brother, son, daughter, or wife, or friend that tried to get them to even secretly serve God, that man, first off, was not to yield to their suggestion, and he was not to show mercy, but that he was to, the person who tried to get him to turn away from God was to be killed. Now think about that. Your brother, your daughter, your wife. In other words, nobody comes before God. Now when we get to this verse, he says, if you hear a rumor, okay, that a city has gone after a strange god, the first thing you do is don't just take the rumor at face value, but you investigate. You always investigate. Once you investigate, and you find out that this accusation is more than a rumor, but it's actually something that's true, and then he's saying to totally annihilate the inhabitants of that city, including their animals. Kill them. Eradicate the evil. Any sacrifices they're making to other gods or whatever, you kill everything in that city. Now, even though this sounds harsh, you have to understand that evil reproduces itself just like anything else. And so what God is saying is you dig it up by the root. If you don't want it to reproduce, then cut it off. Get it out of your land. Get the evil out of your land. You see what's going on in this nation because we didn't deal with the root. And because of what we've allowed, and you see the situation we're in today. Well, God was telling the Israelites, the land that I'm giving you is because of the people worship false gods and did all types of perverted things, and I drove them out. I'm giving it to you. Don't you repeat the pattern, or I will drive you out. And so what you have to do is drive out any evil person among you. Get rid of them. You can't sympathize with it. You understand? You can't compromise because you don't want to offend somebody or because you don't want to hurt a family member's feelings or whatever that. You have to deal with this stuff. Now, obviously, today we're not killing people, you understand? But we're to set our foot down, and we're not to let anybody dissuade us from following God. You follow God. Him first. Whatever the cost, you keep God first. If everybody leaves, you just remember you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We have the assurance that he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. So you will never be alone. Take your stand for God. Amen.
Amen. You know, the Lord's thoughts are higher than ours, so He knew the danger of coexisting. And we've talked about that here before with the bumper sticker and whatnot that seems so prevalent today. But you think about just in a garden, if any of you garden or plant flowers or whatever the case may be, weeds just pop up without you doing anything, and they'll take over if you let them stay. Evil will try to take over and dominate.
You don't believe that? Leave the weeds alone, see if they won't take over. That is a principle. You understand? You don't have to plant weeds.
Right.
The devil plants the evil, you understand? Not only is it planted, you think about this with the parable Jesus gave of the wheat and the tares. The enemy, which would be the devil, planted the tares in earth. So all these perverts that you're seeing are planted by the devil. The righteous are planted by God. God sowing good seed in the earth to get His kingdom established in the earth, okay? But if you just say, well, whatever will be, then the evil will take over. And so we have to stand up and be counted for God, regardless what that cost may be. You have to stand for God. And I'll tell people, I don't coexist with the devil. And my God doesn't coexist, so I'm not going to embrace your ungodly beliefs and your ungodly ways. And don't you think you're going to change me. You follow me? I'm telling you, we're going to have to be tenacious in our stand with God, because there's too many things trying to pull people away from God. And the sad part is so much of it comes through religion. Mm-hmm. Trying to get you to compromise. Well, you know, you have to overlook this, you have to overlook that. What is it that God overlooks? God's not overlooking anything. If He loves you, He'll correct you. If you don't take correction, then you're going to get something worse than correction. You're going to get an eternal judgment. You'll choose this day who you're going to serve. Because there's no gray area. You're either serving God or the devil. If you're serving yourself, you're serving the devil. No, I didn't call you a devil. I'm just saying you're under the influence of the devil.
You remember how we talked about when we read in Exodus how God explained who He is, that He is merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. So I challenge you to keep those attributes in mind as we read these verses here, as we read this scripture, as we read this law about worshiping idols, false gods. He is merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. To those that choose to accept Him and worship Him as the one and true living God. But He's even merciful to those who don't just yet, because He puts His word out there and He gives us an opportunity to come up under. And aren't we better off for it when we do, when we submit our hearts to Him? So keep that in mind as we read, because I point that out because I distinctly remember reading the Old Testament before I had that revelation of who God is. And because I didn't understand, I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. I was attacking this reading the Bible naturally, didn't understand that it's spirit, trying to figure it out with my natural mind and reason. This sounds harsh. But thank goodness, I thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit and His revelation of who God is. And He wants what's best for His people. And He knows coexisting with idol worship is not what's best.
And long-suffering is not eternal patience. He talks about their cup is not yet full.
Yes.
In other words, there is a space of time to repent. You look at the Revelation, what does he say about Jezebel? I gave her space to repent. God gives us space to repent, but when that space has run out, then it's judgment. He is long-suffering, but there is a point in time that's over. And when you don't respond, He gives you space to repent. When you don't repent, then God deals with it. And you can't blame God. You have to blame yourself. Because it's self-destruction. Basically, because you called for it by not repenting.
Verse 16. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shall burn with fire the city, and all the spoil thereof every whit, for the Lord thy God, and it shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again.
Now think about this. You kill everything in the city, people and animals. You bring the spoil. That's the good stuff you take in the war, you understand, you plunder. You bring that into the middle of the street of the city, and you burn it and the city. Completely destroy it, and he didn't stop there. Don't rebuild the city. Satan's dominated that place. Don't build it back up. Don't give him that place to occupy again. It's more profound than people think. It just, as Heather was saying, if you just read it superficially, it sounds like hard judgment and all that. But you have to understand that God is a righteous God, and He's wanting righteous people on the earth. God's wanting His will done on earth as it is in heaven, and perverts won't do the will of God on earth. And so they have to be dealt with accordingly. You eradicate evil.
You see, even today, how people desire what evil has produced. Evil can produce wealth, money.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, just take a look at what's going on in our nation today and how greed will rise up. People want to lay hold of that, of what evil has produced. What deception, what lying, what flat-out stealing and robbing from people. God doesn't want us to take part in that.
You understand that Satan tempted Jesus with the power and the greed. That's what's going on today. People are driven by power and greed. Remember, all these kingdoms of the world, I'll give to you, they're mine. That ought to tell you something. The kingdoms of the world are of the devil. And so the devil says, I'll make you rich. I'll make you famous. I'll make you powerful. I'll put you in these positions to where you lie, cheat, steal, and get by with it and become filthy rich. Filthy rich. And what's happening is people are selling their souls to the devil for a dollar. And the amazing thing is that people are calling that stuff good. Well, they're doing something right. Really, they're doing something wrong. You know, we were reading today, and I was talking to Heather. In the particular area I was reading, how Jesus was accused of casting out devils with the power of the devil, the Beelzebub. Don't you find it interesting that the devil will influence a religious person or people, denomination, whatever, that against the power of God? Now, why would he call the Holy Spirit? This is the devil influencing. They're saying he's casting out devils by the Spirit of God. You follow me? And yet they're saying he's casting out devils by the devil. The devil will tell you that the Holy Spirit is the devil. And I grew up in, you know, when I was early years of school, all the way through high school, you know, Pentecostal, all that wasn't popular back then, you know, especially, are you one of those, you know, you go to that church, then that sort of taboo type stuff and speaking in tongues is of the devil and all that type thing. Now, who do you think would initiate that? It's the devil. Why would the devil come against the Holy Spirit? Because that is the power over the devil. You ever thought about it? He won't fight any other religion, but I can tell you, against the Spirit of God, he will come against it with everything he's got and then accuse the Spirit of God of being demonic. Now, when you do that, that is a sin that's unforgivable. When you blaspheme, I can remember right here in this city when a particular minister, and I could call him by name, would be solicited to go from one church to another church to preach against the Holy Spirit. Preach against the Holy Spirit. I thought, you don't even know what you're doing. Oh, this guy was popular. And among that denomination, he still really looked up to. But he gave his life to ministering against the Holy Spirit, not understanding that he is under the influence of the devil. And you've got to wake up to the reality. Anything that's fighting against the power of God is afraid it's going to be overthrown. And Satan's already been defeated. It's just his eternal judgment has been announced. It just hasn't been executed yet. And so he's fighting with everything he can to try to overthrow the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is becoming bigger and bigger, more established and more established in earth. And ultimately, Satan will be cast into the lake of fire as an eternal punishment. But right now, he's wreaking havoc among church people. Preachers under the influence of the devil. Upstanding church members under the influence of the devil. Deacons under the influence of the devil. And what people don't know is the devil is running the church. Not the true church, but the religious church. And so the religious church attacks the true church. You better wake up or you get sucked right into it. Because these people dress up and they look good. And they are influential. They are powerful people. But don't sell your soul to the devil. Do what God wants you to do. Forget about position. Forget about money. Think about the eternal end of all that stuff. You can be a billionaire, but it'll be short-lived. You know, won't take a penny with you. That's why he tells us to lay up our treasures in heaven. Get your attention on the eternal things, not on the temporary things that are going to pass away. It's not that they might pass away. It is an absolute they will pass away. So why give your life to something that's not going to last? Give your life to something that's going to last forever. The eternal. You understand? And to do that, you have to overcome the evil. You understand? James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God. That's where it starts. That's where it ends. You stay submitted to God. If you submit to God, you'll resist the devil. You won't be taken in by the devil. Because the Spirit of truth in you will reveal the deception and the lies. And you just stay near to God, and God stays near to you. And so we have to keep ourselves submitted to the Word of God, submitted to the Spirit of God, keeping the Word before you all the time, then you won't be tempted to do these evil things that the Israelites were tempted to do. Knowing in the law it was the death penalty, but they'll do it anyway. Crazy, isn't it? Well, don't be crazy.
Verse 17. And there shall cleave naught of the cursed thing to thy hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger, and show thee mercy, and have compassion upon thee, and multiply thee, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, when thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep all his commandments, which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God.
Now, I remind you again, this is toward the end of Moses' life. It won't be that much longer to where they're going to cross Jordan to go into the promised land, right? Moses is telling them, do not take the spoil from what's been devoted to destruction. Don't take the spoil. Don't let that entice you. You obey the commandment of the Lord. If you don't, it's going to cause his intense anger to be kindled against you. You understand? God's a merciful God, but you don't want to push him. You understand? You don't want to rile him up, so to speak. He is compassionate to those who obey him. But his anger will be kindled against those who disobey him. See, his wrath is poured out on the children of disobedience, not on the children of obedience. And so if you're obeying God, you don't have to fear the wrath of God. You understand? And so he says, all right, you increase in number. The rules don't change. That's why it's so important that you teach your children. Every generation needs to be taught the ways of God. And so he says, you obey the voice of God. You keep all the commandments. Everything that I'm reiterating to you, Moses, then you keep that. Do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. Now just remember this. Achan was in that congregation.
Yeah. Good.
You understand? Mm-hmm. Here God is speaking through Moses, telling them, don't set your eyes on anything devoted to destruction. Because if you do, then you're going to incur the wrath of God. Achan didn't pay any attention to it. And the gold and the Babylonian garment got his attention and brought about his death. Because he wouldn't listen to God. Looking at the wrong thing. I'm telling you, what you set before your eyes is extremely important. That's why the psalmist said, I'll set no evil thing before my eyes. What's evil? Anything that's not right in the sight of God. It's not if everybody else is doing it. Is this what everybody else is going for? Is it right in the sight of God? If it's not right in the sight of God, don't even think about it. Don't even go there because it's not going to be good. It may look good. I mean, the pleasures, sin has pleasure for a season. But the season's coming to an end. And then when the season comes to an end, so does the pleasure. So was it worth it? You understand? I've disobeyed my parents before for the pleasure. But the season ended, and I didn't like the pain. Experience is not the best teacher. It's the hardest teacher. You understand? So why not follow the instruction rather than have to incur the judgment, the punishment, whatever. You with me? But when I looked at this, I thought Achan was in the audience. But he let that word pass right on over. He didn't let it get into his heart. Don't get your eyes on stuff. Get your eyes on God.
Amen. Yes, we move into chapter 14. This chapter gives instructions to the Israelites regarding faithfulness to God, animals that could be eaten, and the purpose and benefit of tithing. Chapter 14. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth.
Okay. Moses called the Israelites the children of the Lord God. God birthed them out of bondage, out of a nation, you understand, out of Egypt. And so God has set them apart exclusively for him. Now he tells them not to follow pagan practices. Or I could say it this way, don't follow the practices of the world. Don't cut yourself. Well, why would I want to cut myself? That's part of worship of some culture. Without going into detail, I'll be very vague, but I was in a particular setting and happened to get roomed with a person that I'd never met before. I didn't know who he was or anything. And we got ready to go to bed, and, you know, he had just his T-shirt and cuts all over him, cuts all over his arm. And, you know, just doing me, I said, how did that happen? Did you have been in an accident? And he started telling me how he did that in demonic worship. Take a razor blade and a knife and just cut himself. Now, a sane man won't do that. You've got to be under influence. You understand? And so this is not just something remote back hundreds of years ago. People are still cutting themselves today. People are Satan's still trying to get people to shed their blood. I'm telling you, Jesus shed his blood, so mine doesn't have to be shed.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
Mine won't do it any good. Jesus' blood covered it all. You understand? My blood's not going to take the guilt away, but his blood did take the guilt away. You follow me? And so this is not something that's just remote. Don't make any baldness between your eyes. That was a pagan practice where they shaved their eyebrows and all this. I don't understand all of it. For the dead. Ungodly worship, if I can say it that way, or ungodly ceremonies. God is telling the Israelites, you're to be set apart from every other nation on the earth. You're not to be like any nation on the earth. It's amazing how the United States was set apart from Europe, and then turned around years later and try to be like Europe who turned away from God. No, you're set apart. Well, the principle here is like Israel was set apart to be different from every other nation on earth, the body of Christ is set apart to be different from anybody else on earth. Our lifestyle is to be different. Our desires are to be different. The way we go about things is to be different. So we're not to look horizontally to find out what other people are doing. Pastors need to get a revelation that don't look at what that church is doing. You keep looking up. Find out what God's doing. Find out what God wants done. And follow the ways of God and keep yourself distinctly different from the world. I don't want to be like the world. I used to want to blend in to a point. I did have some convictions, believe it or not. But I have no desire to fit in to the systems of the world. I've seen something better. Why would I want to go back? Listen, if you have the best, why are you looking for something else? And we have the best. As born-again believers, we have the best kingdom that you could ever imagine. What we need to do is learn how that kingdom operates, get that kingdom established on the inside of us to the point that God rules through us, not the way the world rules, but the way God rules. That's the best life you can ever live. And I can tell you, I'm happy, happy, happy. You understand? I had lost a thing out there in the world. You with me? Because I don't want to go out there and lose nothing. Okay.
Okay. Verse 3. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing.
Okay. That ought to be self-explanatory, right? Now, you understand they're under the old covenant. So, God is telling them, don't you eat anything that I don't approve of. And I don't approve of you eating meat that's been offered to idols. Even in the New Testament, where Paul said that everything that God's created is good if it's sanctified by the word and prayer. And he tells them, if you eat what's set before you, and don't say anything, ask no questions. But if a person sets something before you and they say, this has been offered as a sacrifice to an idol, don't eat it. Leave it alone. Not for your conscience. Your conscience says it doesn't matter. I've sanctified it by the word and prayer, and I know that idol is no God. But the other person that's offering to you doesn't know that. And so you do it for their conscience. Don't do anything to bring a reproach against God, is basically what he's saying. So don't eat any detestable thing. And I can promise you, if it's been sacrificed to an idol, God hates it. And so should you. Leave it alone. Amen?
Amen. Verse 4. These are the beasts which ye shall eat, the ox, the sheep, and the goat, the hart, and the roebuck, and the fallow deer, and the wild goat, and the figarg, and the wild ox, and the chamois, and every beast that parteth the hoof, and cleaveth the cleft into two claws, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that ye shall eat.
So, you understand, this is law. This is under the law. This is under the old covenant. And so to keep them distinctly different from any other nation, God gives them some rules. All right, I want you different in your eating habits. These animals, split the hoof, chew the cud. These will be clean to you. If it doesn't qualify, it's unclean. You understand? It can't be 50%. Well, it chews the cud, but then divide the hoof. Then you have to leave it alone. Divide the hoof and chew the cud. Then these God approves. Don't eat what God doesn't approve of. You follow? This is keeping them distinctly different. Now, I can bring this over into the new covenant, and our food is spiritual food. Don't eat the spiritual food that's handed out there by the devil or religion. You eat what comes out of the Word of God. This is clean. What's coming out of the Word is clean, it's pure. Make sure that what you're ingesting into you is clean in the sight of God. The unadulterated Word of God. Not watered down, not compromised, not distorted. See, the devil quoted Scripture to Jesus, but he has a distortion there. It's out of context. He's using the Scripture to try to get him to put the attention on himself. God will never have you putting attention on you. You can take that to the bank.
Yeah.
You keep your attention on God, God will take care of you. You understand? But He wants us different. And so our eating habits, and I'm talking about spiritual, should be different than religion. It should be different than the world. But you look at what Christians feed on. They feed on the world. They let in all types of ungodly things coming out of Hollywood, coming out of the news or whatever. They eating all this stuff all the time, all the time. It's feeding them. It's feeding them. You know what happens? It's messing with your thinking. And which is going to produce bad results. Watch what you eat. Okay? Time's up. I'll stop here. We'll pick back up with this.